Grace to you and peace in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Because I said so. Have you ever used that explanation for your children before? How well did it work? Not very successful, is it? It might have worked all right when the children were rather young, but once those kids hit their teenage years, that explanation won't fly. Now, it'd be great if it did, but it usually doesn't because your teenagers don't trust you as much as they did when they were young. They don't believe that you're infallible anymore. In fact, quite often they think that they know as much as you know, sometimes even more than you know. And so, because I said so, doesn't mean much to them. They don't really recognize your experiential wisdom or your parental authority like they used to. And thus, they want more than simply your say-so if they are going to obey your wishes. They want some proof, some evidence, some documentation that what you say is right. It can be rather frustrating as a parent dealing with teenagers because they tend to question and challenge your every move and decision. You see, I don't know exactly the percentage to which loud music affects your ability to drive. But I do know that loud music makes you less safe. I don't know all the ways that drinking soda can affect your health and your weight and your fitness. But I am absolutely positive that 4 sodas a day are not good for you. And yet, without the numbers, our words as parents often fall on deaf ears. Makes you understand just a little bit, doesn't it? How God must feel sometimes in dealing with us. Because all too often we are much more like teenagers in our faith than we are like the little children, the infants that His Word calls us to be. Too often God's words in the Scripture of "trust me" are not good enough for us. We also would like some proof. In our gospel reading today, Thomas was the one demanding the proof. As I said to the children before, he wasn't there that first evening when Jesus appeared to the other disciples. And so when they told him that Jesus was alive, he didn't really believe it. Wasn't going to believe it unless he saw with his own eyes. In fact, nobody's word was going to be good enough for Thomas. He wanted the physical, tangible proof. And thus he earned himself the nickname Doubting Thomas. I always feel a little bit sorry for Thomas getting tagged with that disparaging nickname. Because if you remember the whole resurrection story, the other disciples didn't believe that Jesus had risen at first either. You know, the women came running back from the tomb, the empty tomb, to tell the disciples that Jesus had risen, and according to the word, like the angel told them to go tell. But when they told the disciples what had happened, the disciples, well, let me quote from the Gospel of Luke here. It says that the disciples did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Thomas has become the poster boy for doubt and skepticism among the disciples. But he was no different from the rest of them. And really, no different than us. We all have our moments of teenage faith, don't we? Our moments of doubt. Our moments of skepticism. We know what God's Word teaches us and promises us about God's faithfulness. We know what it says about His strength and His love and His mercy and His grace and His forgiveness. We've been taught those things since we were little kids. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and have been called according to His purpose. Romans 8. We know that God has said that He will renew the strength of those that wait on Him, and they will rise on wings like eagles. Isaiah 40. We know that God has promised to never leave us and never forsake us. Deuteronomy 31. That He has promised to provide for all of our needs as we seek Him first in His kingdom and His righteousness. Matthew 6. That He's promised to hear us and to answer when we call upon Him. Psalm 50. He's promised to forgive us of our sins when we come to Him and openly and honestly confess our sins, as we spoke in our epistle reading today, 1 John chapter 1. We know all those promises. We've been taught them for years. They're in our heads. The problem is, they don't always anchor themselves in our hearts. All it takes is one accident, one bad report, one falling out, one relationship breakup, one lost job, one health scare. Sometimes all it takes is one bad day. And suddenly we're calling God's promises into question. Like pouting teenagers or doubting Thomases, we are easily displeased with God's activity in our lives and don't really believe that He always knows what He's doing. Without the visual proofs that everything will work out all right, that will work out for the good at the moment, we're not really sure that things are going to work out for the good at all. To that doubt and that disbelief, Jesus would say to us exactly what He said to Thomas: stop doubting and believe. Stop basing your faith on only what your eyes can see or what you can physically grab hold of. Stop demanding proof in order to accept what God says is true. Hebrews 11 tells us that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is believing that things will work out for the good simply because God says they will. Faith is knowing and trusting in the safety and the security and the provision and the forgiveness and the love of God despite all of the evidence to the contrary that is circling around us. Simply because that is the nature and the character of God. Faith is convinced, and it is confident, and it is certain, and it is sure of all this for no other reason than the death and the resurrection of Jesus. As I said to the children before, and as they said to me, our proof of God's love for us and His forgiveness, and His strength, and His concern, and His healing, and His hope, and His life, and His mercy, and His victory is the fact that God sent His own and only Son to this world to die upon a cross and to rise from a grave for us. You see, our trust in God's word as true and as faithful is forever rooted in the actions of God through His Son, Jesus Christ, actions that took place at the cross of Calvary and the empty garden tomb. Actions that stand and endure no matter what else is happening in your life. And so, my fellow disciples, in those moments of fear and uncertainty, stop doubting. Simply believe. Regardless of what your eyes can or cannot see, trust in God simply because of the life and the love and the sacrifice and the resurrection of Jesus. Stop being those teenage Christians, those doubting Thomases who have to have proof. Be rather those little children who simply trust in God because He says so. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, amen.